Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Let's get started with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning to start a new day afresh. Help us as we carry on our day's activities. Keep us from harm as we journey along the way today. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of inspiration for today is the following quotation. Where there is change, there is opportunity. Since change is constant, there is always opportunity. This quote is by Jimmy Davies, entrepreneur, radio host, and president of Every Black Entrepreneurs, one of the sponsors of this show. Today's show is part two of the story Trouble in Paradise. Last time, Maggie had come back to her room from visiting a jazz session downstairs at the hotel where she was staying with her husband, John. John did not get back until much later as she waited for him to return from his night of gambling. After John returned to his room, he rested in preparation for the start of his conference the next day on Sunday, which was the last day of the meeting. Meanwhile, Maggie had her mind on seeing Fred later that afternoon. This time, he would come to meet her at the hotel while John was away at his conference. We'll be right back to get more into this story. Welcome back. Fred had made arrangements to meet Maggie even before she left his condo on the previous day. At that time, he said to her,
"Yes, Maggie, since you came to my place today, I can come to where you are tomorrow."
"Again, Fred, my husband will be away again tomorrow night, like he's away tonight. But when you come over, you can stay only a short time. But yeah, I really want to see you again, Fred, before I leave."
"Okay, I'll be over about 6 o'clock.
Again, Maggie addressed Fred as though she was in town alone. Be that as it may, the next day did come when they made arrangement to see each other for one last time. One more time before Maggie and John would fly back to Chicago on Monday. So now it was later in the day on Sunday when John would attend his last meeting. It was after 5 o'clock when Fred had left his condo heading towards the hotel where Maggie and John were staying. He was so eager to see Maggie. When he arrived there, she had already made a dinner reservation for the both of them. A dinner reservation? For someone other than her husband? Maggie really believed that John would not return until later. Much later. At any rate, the time was about 6 o'clock and their table had already been prepared. But almost an hour would pass for them to make their selections and to have their food prepared and delivered. During that time, as they had done the previous day when Maggie paid Fred a visit, they continued to talk to one another about old times and prospects for the future. Yes, Maggie believed that John would not return until 9 o'clock or thereabouts. Heck, she thought that he might not even return by that time, but maybe much later, like he had done the previous night. Remember, John returned to the hotel late that night, not because he was with his colleagues, but he had spent time with Sandra. John knew she would be flying back to Chicago earlier on Sunday, and since his responsibility at the conference would be over by late afternoon, he felt no commitment to attend the group's social activities later that evening. So with Sandra having gone back to Chicago, John decided to return to the hotel early, much earlier than Maggie had anticipated. So John did leave the conference at about 6 o'clock, about the time that Fred and Maggie had placed their order. Yes, John would be back to the hotel soon. What? John coming back to the hotel early? Not a good thing for Maggie and her friend Fred, who were just beginning to relax and enjoy a short time of conversation over dinner. Yes, Maggie and Fred had settled comfortably in their seats at the restaurant, anticipating a delightful meal before Fred would leave the hotel and return to his condo. He certainly didn't want to be there when Maggie's husband returned, but he thought that her husband would not return until later, as Maggie had told him, not earlier. Like in a few moments? Wow. Yes, John was on his way and got back to the hotel at about 7 o'clock. Just as Maggie and Fred were preparing to have their meal. Instead of heading directly to his room, John decided to go to the lounge restaurant where Maggie and Fred were to get a drink of wine and relax a little bit. He had won a bundle of cash on the slot machines and wanted to surprise Maggie. Well, it was him that would get the surprise. As John got closer to where Maggie and Fred were sitting, he was shocked to see that his wife was sitting with another man at a dinner table. It seemed that a confrontation between husband and wife was imminent, a wife in the company of someone else. "Oh my God!" John groaned, while chills suddenly came all over his body. He finally accepted the fact that it was his wife Maggie sitting there. He really didn't want to believe it. He briefly went through a moment of denial, hoping that it wasn't really Maggie that he was seeing, that it was only someone who looked like Maggie. But oh no, as John got a little closer, he realized that it was Maggie, sitting there having conversation with a strange man. All this was going on in John's mind in a matter of seconds. He now realized that Maggie wasn't in her room just sitting around, twiddling her fingers, waiting for him to come to her. He saw that she only repeated something that he had done the previous night, something that he did not wish to consider, of course, his secret meeting with Sandra. Yes, Maggie had her own agenda that evening, that being seeing an old flame who was Fred. That's when John shouted with a loud voice, "Maggie! Maggie!" We'll see what happens next when we return from our break.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written 3 books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases, even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written 3 books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another nonfictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. As John continued walking to where Maggie and Fred were sitting, she saw her husband coming toward them. Maggie froze for a second and did not have the time to figure out an excuse to give him or to explain who Fred was. Suddenly, there John stood, staring her right in the face, with John looking on in amazement. Given his attitude towards seeing Maggie conversing with other people, much less a strange man, John's next move was predictable. John, who by now was standing near the two of them, decided to turn his attention toward Fred. So John, with bulging eyes, looked directly into Fred's eyes and said without hesitation,
"I just don't like you."
The waitress, who was just about to take their order, obviously frightened, asked Fred if he knew who this person was. Ignoring her question to Fred, John then looked toward the waitress and said to her, with a loud voice,
"I would never be his friend."
With that comment, the waitress just froze, like Maggie did when she first saw her husband there. But Fred, he just sat there, not knowing what to do. Everyone appeared bewildered at John's actions. Then, before any other reaction could take place, John grabbed Maggie by the arm and pulled her up out of her chair.
"Let's go to the room."
"John, John, stop! You're hurting me."
Fred's instinct was to get up and try to stop this man from hurting Maggie, not realizing it was her husband. But just as he had those thoughts, what seemed to be a security officer came up to see what all the commotion was about. What he saw was John pulling Maggie from the table. And with that, the officer just lost it and began to struggle with John, trying to release the grip that he had on Maggie.
"I'm afraid you're making too much of a scene here, buddy. You will have to cool down or you will have to leave the premises and take your damn hands off this lady."
Tables and chairs had started to tumble everywhere, it seemed. With all the commotion going on, John said in the struggle,
"Get your hands off me, Baldy. This is my wife, and I'm going to take her back to our room."
Then the unthinkable happened, as evidenced by the screams from the crowd. It was later learned that the shot came from another security officer who arrived to help control things at the scene. It was not until after that gunshot that the struggle between John and the security officer began to subside. Hearing the shot, together with now knowing that John had come to get his wife, the officer with the bald head realized that it was nothing he could do, despite being insulted. He knew that it was an issue between husband and wife. The officer then walked away and finally said to John in a more polite tone,
"I am sorry, sir, but you'll still need to keep down the noise. This is a public place. Have a good evening. Oh, and by the way, you really should treat your wife better."
With that, the officer brushed himself off from the struggle and left the area. All this seemed to have happened within a matter of seconds, and Maggie didn't have a chance to speak to Fred for a last time or to explain who the man dragging her away was. But John had already told everybody, and Fred heard him. He knew that it was her husband that was taking her away. Fred returned to his condo bewildered and feeling sad about the whole ordeal. He would certainly need the faith that he grew up with to carry him through as he navigated his feelings for Maggie, as well as the continued challenges that he had at work. He looked forward to the time when his assignment in Hawaii would be completed, and he could return to his hometown of Chicago to get a new lease on life there. Meanwhile, Maggie went with John back to their room, and Fred was left with the agonizing thoughts about what Maggie, whom he still cared for deeply, was going through in her marriage. Fred certainly had reason to think that, because back in the hotel room, John was so furious that he threw the bag of money that he had won on the slot machines at Maggie. Bills were flying everywhere as she cried and cried until she fell asleep. John soon had gone to sleep himself because he was exhausted from all that had transpired that evening. Still knowing the value of money, Maggie snuck out of bed in the middle of the night and recovered as many of the bills as she could, grumbling all the while, saying, "No need to lose any of this," and proceeded to stuff her purse with cash. Let's take a break, and we'll return to close the show. Welcome back. Our special story scripture today comes from Romans 8:24, which says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for?" This scripture points to the fact that salvation is based on our hope in Him who saved us. Certainly, both Maggie and John, as well as Fred, had this hope deep in their being, despite their transgressions. But those transgressions came with consequences. In coming episodes, we will see if their faith will allow them to overcome their difficulties. Yes, the world in which we live is complex, and there are always challenges, even for believers. The challenge to walk in the straight and narrow path. But in the end, it's still our Father's world. So sadness shouldn't set in our spirit, though we've done wrong. Because while the wrongs of life seem all too strong, God is the ruler yet. Our virtual song of the week is coming next, and we'll see you the next time. And remember, there's always more. More good things coming your way.
Storytelling Time comes to you every week with exciting inspirational stories about people's experiences that are unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes miraculous. Why not join the fun? Yes, we can all add an extra dimension to our lives by reading about what others are going through. You'll be surprised to learn that their experiences are similar to some of your own. Today's story only includes portions of Dr. Porter's book, Heaven Can't Wait. Other details of the story could not be shared today because of the limitation of time. Why not read the whole account of the story? Just go to the website, williamporterlife.com, to receive information on how to order this book, as well as other books written by Dr. Porter. Yes, there's always more. More good news to read. Life in the Spirit. Miracles in the lives of ordinary people. Heaven Can't Wait, the sequel.